Thumbs up if you can hear me okay. Hello. Good stuff. As per usual, give it a couple of minutes, chaps. We'll let some people filter in the room. Nice to see you all. Who have we got so far? Reese, Maximus, Netadal, Mike, how's it going? Cybernetics group in the house, very active these days. Love to see you. Right, cool. Oh, the inch. There he is. Mr. Hartnell. Wicked. All right, about a wee minute. Aye, Cam, I've never seen you there because you don't have an image. Is that, you mean to do that, just be like nice and blank? Thought you were the man of the graphics behind Juno Comms. You've not even got an image. All right, lovely stuff. I've got Jack coming on as well, by the way, which is great stuff. So I'll just do the introductions here. It is August the 15th, 2023. We're now on Juno Community Call number 17. And this is the usual. We will be providing exclusive updates and information about what's going on in the Juno network. We're happy to have us today. How you doing, Jake? And Reese, Jack will be joining shortly. Shout out to Tank and all the other people that have just joined. I can just get into... Oh, there's Jack there. How you doing, pal? So how are you all doing, chaps, first of all, before we get into the agenda?
I'm great. Back for traveling, just heads down.
Been busy, man. Good stuff, mate. I'll go over the agenda now. Key topics for today's discussion. I'd like to mention also that the call will last approximately 60 minutes and will be recorded for future reference, which you can now catch up on Spotify. We're going to go with updates from the core team members, then a wee interview with Jack, and we'll go over governance recap. It won't be pretty long, that. And then I'd like to offer some, maybe the last 20 minutes to the Juno Working Group plus open mic to the community if anybody wants to ask some questions. So please do think of some questions now so you're ready towards the end. As previously noted, we're joined by some of the Core One chaps here. We're going to provide some of the insights into Juno's technical updates. Additionally, like I mentioned, we've got Jack coming on for a little chat as well. So let's get into it. Reese, how's it all going, mate? How are you doing?
I am doing very fantastic. It's been an exciting couple weeks in the Juno ecosystem with our previous upgrade that was successful, upgrading us to SDK 47, pushing us on the latest boundaries in terms of the technical stack being on the latest there. So really exciting to have that have been successful on both testnet as well as on mainnet. The only issue that we had run into, which we had previously planned for, was that web apps needed to update one of their dependencies to fully utilize all the chain specific functions there. So DAO and other applications have begun to update their apps there, and they'll be getting that up into our TypeScript repo as well. So a super successful update. All of the migrations were successful. All of the, you know, all of the changes through the entire code base that we had to do there were perfect, and we've had no issues since. So that's been exciting. From the future upgrades that we have planned, our next upgrade is the V17 upgrade. Many of these features have already been completed. We're currently in the review stage and then just figuring out extra functionality that we want to add. So one of the big upgrades is that DAO will be able to register fee share contracts directly. So as a DAO, you can, you know, manage your contracts, and you'll also be able to register that and have those funds come back to the DAO directly or through another address, which wasn't previously possible. So there's a big upgrade with that there. We're adding a new module called X/Drip. This will allow for an easy airdrop to all stakers on the chain. So a user could create a new Token Factory token, have some functionality behind it, and then with governance approval, airdrop that to every single account on the chain whenever they accept their next claim through the normal Kepler or other interface. So that's a really exciting module there. The next thing is, of course, the composable and Polkadot connection. We're currently still waiting on some upstream changes from the IBC Go team, and that will all of the code is done from our side. We just need to wait for that one change, and then we can push that out. So we're not sure if we're going to get that into version 17 or the following, but everything is done from us. We're just waiting on some other things up there. The next upgrade, or next part of this upgrade, will be faster block times. We're going to be at roughly 3 seconds as previously planned back a couple upgrades back. The changes with that. And then including with this, we're going to be rolling out Cosmos Cache as a way to better serve public RPC endpoints for web apps and users and developers. That way that this information isn't constantly hitting the backend store. So it's more efficient, it's quicker, and we're going to see better response times even compared to currently. So we're able to have more overhead and more throughput there, which is super exciting. And then the final thing is some things with fees. We're going to be increasing the amount of gas that can be used for these fees. For example, with the TFM.com, they have IBC hooks and packet forward middleware from Strangelove now enabled. And with that, larger IBC packets are coming through and relayers are hitting issues where packets are being larger than what we originally anticipated. So we'll be increasing that limit to allow for these larger transactions to go through freely for relayers to keep costs down. So a lot of exciting things in this upgrade. I'd say about 50% of it's done. We may add another custom module, but that's still to be determined. So really exciting stuff.
That's unbelievable. V17 already in the horizon. Reese, you just keep shipping, man. On a little side question to you. You do a lot of infrastructure work, right? But with your skills, do you build any projects or dApps or anything like that as well when you get time?
Yeah, so I try to solve the biggest issues that I see either like currently that need to be solved like right now or in the future. So, things on the infrastructure side, things on the smart contract side. From a personal app development perspective, I've seen that, we're building out all this infrastructure, but we've not really shown like the true capabilities of all this cool tech that we have. So I am working on a Minecraft mixed with Juno mainnet launch. It'll be a PvP battles dueling. You'll be able to bet in Juno. You don't have to input your private key. That's all done through Kepler. You can use a ledger if you want. So, it's fully self-custodial. You're able to get on the server, battle your friends, battle other people, and then in the future, of course, be able to bet on one of these people, kind of like how the hamster like race, bets happened, but in Minecraft. So it's a super exciting thing. All of it will be open source, including the API. You'll be able to access that, the front end, the server itself. All of that will be open source and permissionless for people to use and to build on and to go play. So that's super exciting. I got it up on mainnet this morning. It's just, doing the final touches and then being able to push that out here within the next couple of days.
Yeah, that's excellent. Brilliant stuff. I don't know, Jake, if you get anything to add on the core infrastructure updates or anything with DAO was mentioned.
Yeah, definitely. So if people have not been paying attention to the Twitter, I know I've not been paying attention to the Twitter. We've made really great progress on mesh security. We unveiled it at OsmoCon. There's a video with like live UI demo and everything. So Mesh is really, really coming together. I'm very, 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 very excited for Mesh. I think it'll be a nice kick that the whole entire ecosystem really needs. Mesh is happening. Maybe someone can dig up that tweet and throw it in the net so people can see what it looks like.
Excellent.
On the data side, we actually have a feature that's going to be announced later today or tomorrow. But for those on the call, you get the alpha. So we are launching a new governance feature for the Cosmos SDK chains. So you'll be able to create Juno Gov props directly with a UI and everything. You can do everything that you can do in DAO. You'll be able to also like vote on proposals or deposit on proposals directly in the DAO UI. And this is part of our big initiative to like move more and more of Juno governance over to DAO so that, you know, for visibility and to just take advantage of like all the amazing features that we want to build in the future to like really make Juno governance a very exciting place. So that's going to come out like later today. So you'll be able to create props, you'll be able to vote on props, you'll be able to deposit on props, and you'll have like a beautiful UI to do things like instantiate smart contracts from the community. And this will also mean that we'll have a nice clear view of all the Juno sub-DAOs, which is going to be fun. I'll wait for the working group because there's like a lot of, I think, updates there. And I've been personally like going through constitution drafts. That's fun. The other update with DAO is that we've gotten some public goods funding. And so the open source, the front end and the whole entire DAO stack will soon be open source again, fully open source, which will be, I think, great for the entire ecosystem. And really, really glad that's happening, to be honest. Lots of features in store on the roadmap for DAO, but the most important one is all the governance UI. So you'll be able to like create gov props on Juno directly with like really nice UI and not have to use the command line.
Thanks a lot, Jake. Nice to have you back, man. That sounds amazing. Exciting stuff there, all happening. Yeah, just you keep working and stay off Twitter, mate. right, okay. So, Jack Zamplin, nice to have you here. How are you all doing? How are you doing, mate?
Fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Yes, man. I listened to your Twitter space the other night with Rack FM. It was brilliant. You kind of inspired me to kind of go on a different kind of route with this call tonight. I just wanted to get some, you know, because these calls are being recorded now, right? And what we're doing is archiving them. So it'd be nice to like build out a little bit of a, you know, you don't need to go right into who you are. We all know who you are, Jack. But for people coming into the ecosystem, it might just stumble across you, you know? I'd like you to maybe, we'll talk about like the general cosmos. I'd like your sort of what it was like in a previous bear market. Do you know what I mean? So I'll go through a couple of questions on you, right? First of all, introduce yourself, what you do, and what you do on Juno as a Core One member, and then I'll hit you with some questions, mate.
Sorry, I was talking already and I'm muted. Hey, my name is Jack Zamplin. I've been working in Cosmos since 2018. A lot of people talk about me as the Cosmos product guy. I was the product manager on the Cosmos Hub, the Cosmos SDK, IBC, Sommelier, Gravity Bridge, and Akash. And, you know, I've kind of played that role with Juno too. I've always been consulting with the rest of Core One on what the technical architecture for Juno is. A key part of the idea that became Juno is something that I've been pushing for a long time, which is that there's a tremendous amount of wonderful open source software that the Cosmos community produces. And the opportunity for a chain to pick up all of that and present it in the most usable way to a bunch of end users is always there. And that's what sort of drew me to this community. And we built out that chain with the folks on this call, frankly, a bunch of random people from all over the internet. And throughout the history of Juno, I've been, contributed code at various times, contributed expertise the entire time, and tried to be a rallying point and vocal member of the community to try to help drive things forward. That's maybe a brief summary.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
And Jack has also like saved Juno on at least one occasion. Like the first halt was really, really scary, and I have no clue what we would have done without you, Jack.
Thank you.
Like the voice of reason, rallying all the different validators, you know, trying to fix something that I think a lot of the validators that lived through that time, they all feel better about validating chains. Like I think everyone leveled up during those like couple days, and you were a big part of it. So.
Oh, thank you, Jake. Yeah. You know, that incident response thing and like helping to build a strong culture of software engineering across Cosmos has been a passion of mine for a really long time. I think that successful software projects necessarily have a security focused culture and a culture that, supports developers and supports them in doing their work, which is most of the time boring and mundane. And, you know, the reason why I was able to come in and help with that halt was because I had so much experience across many other Cosmos chains. And I've always kind of viewed my work in Cosmos as sharing that experience as broadly as possible and helping onboard new developers and other folks into the ecosystem. Thank you, Jake.
Nice. Jack, so you mentioned you've been in Cosmos since 2018, all right? I would like to ask you, like, walk us through your experience in Cosmos during, like, the last bear market.
Yeah, I mean, that's an expansive question. I guess, like, just a bit more context. The first time I bought Bitcoins was back in that 2013 cycle that ended in tears in 2014. I was not in the industry then. I was a chef. During that bear market, I spent most of my time learning how to code and starting to work in tech. And then the next bull market in the 2017, that was when I started working on crypto more directly. And I was at a company called Blockstack. And then I joined Cosmos in early 2018 after the market had already crashed to come help Cosmos drive towards launch. My experience there was as a product manager at a very well-funded company. And the bear market issues we were dealing with were not, I think, the bear market issues that we're dealing with in this cycle. You know, there was, the narratives were different, but, you know, fundamentally it's the same. No users, no liquidity. Why are we doing this work? What's to keep us here? Why don't we go work on something else? And I think a lot of the doubt and the fear and the other sort of hard things are all here. But I think what's been different for me this cycle is, you know, running my own company. And back then I was a product manager and we hadn't shipped anything. So, you know, that's a different mindset than having built and supported users in production for years and years. And then facing this kind of existential crisis that we are dealing with right now.
Now, I presume obviously Cosmos had its like core community back then. Like, how, and I mean, asking this from a general perspective, like, you know, how did you manage to retain that core community and like push forward with development like during challenging times as such? And I suppose I'm asking it for like your advice to a Junos community.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that all software development communities are organized around values. And that was how we kept folks in Cosmos through the hard times. I think that it's important to continually restate those values and to work towards them and to have conversation around what those values are and ensure that we share those values. And I think that those exact same things are why we do spaces like this, why we talk about shipping software, why we talk about users and how we're going to bring those folks in, why we talk about the different things we're building. It's to continue the conversation, to continue showing growth within the ecosystem, to continue moving forward. And I think that this call is a great example of what is needed to continue to retain and build the developer base here at Juno. It's the folks in charge coming and giving updates and talking in an unbiased and uncritical way about what we're up against, what we're building, and the successes we have. And I think that, you know, one of the roles that I've always played is a cheerleader. And I think that there's many folks on this call who have gotten, you know, the Jack raising the roof emoji from me in Telegram or a let's fucking go on Twitter or those things. And I think that one of the things that a lot of folks are missing right now is that positivity. And the one thing that I would say to folks on this call is like, go out there and support the people who are trying to build the future that you want to see. Don't criticize them. Don't try to tear them down. Don't be a keyboard warrior and just criticize, get out there and build. And if you can't do that, encourage and support the people who are, because I think any art is inherently hard. you know, building something that represents years or months or days or hours of work and then presenting it out into the world, you're kind of inherently presenting a part of yourself. And code is that way too. And it takes courage and work to put yourself out there. And, you know, when times are hard, that courage is harder to find and that work is harder. And I think that, you know, it's easy to forget that.
Yeah, I agree with you too. Getting on calls and sharing your vision and stuff just is fundamental. That's why I'm always around to try and host the Juno community call. I just think it's something we need to constantly be doing. So yeah, I appreciate that. Looking ahead, Jack, Rhys, Jake, anyone he is, where do you envision Juno in the next one? We're not going to go 4 years or whatever. Let's just say next year, right? Are there any significant milestones or innovations we should be excited about? We touched on mesh there, but
yeah,
you know, anything else?
Yeah, you know, I think that right now, over the last year, what have we seen is, I think, good framing. You know, a year ago, it was in the height of the craziness. We were all fucking around on Fortis and trying to find the dungeon. Shout out crew. But the user experience there was extremely disconnected. There was a bunch of stuff on Juno. There was a lot of people doing things and stuff happening, but there wasn't a smooth user experience. There wasn't sort of sustainable applications and things on top of the protocol. And what we've seen as the tide went out is that the builders who care have continued to stay and continued to ship. So what does Juno look like in a year or two? It's got all of the latest IBC features and is a hub of IBC activity throughout this broader interchain that we've built. It is the place where Cosmos and CosmWasm developments are deployed before anywhere else. And it is a hub of activity for the community that we've built here. And I think that, you know, DAO plays a huge role in that. Mesh plays a huge role in that. The work that Rhys does plays a huge role in that. And if you just project that forward a year, what we have is a sustainable community that's ready to accept new members and to be and to grow. And like, that's where we need to, as Juno, focus, I think. Jake and Rhys.
Yeah, that's a great answer. I wouldn't add too much to it. I think the key thing is, like, if we survive, we thrive. Like, as a very organic, like, chain, like, Juno inherently, like, feeds off its community in a way, like, that's, like, kind of amplified. And it's amazing we're doing as well as we are, given the fact that we've just basically had over a year of downward price pressure the whole time, right? And so, like, we have so much, like, kind of, like, exciting stuff, and we have a lot of developers, like, you know, they went back to their Web2 jobs, but I still get messages from them. Like Callum, shout out Callum. He just messaged me the other day. He was like, oh, I want to start doing stuff again. And I was like, this is a good sign.
Just chatting. So I owe Callum a call too. We've been chatting lately.
Yeah, Callum's awesome. So I think he, you know, he went to the Web2 world and now he like realized that he hates it. He wants to come back to chaos, which is beautiful. Yeah, you know, I think that the key thing for Juno will just be continuing to push the boundaries on experimentation and like cutting edge versions of the stack. I might be stealing this from Rhys, but I'm very, very excited about CosmWasm modules and the ability to write like custom like SDK level logic in CosmWasm smart contracts. That's going to be a lot more stable and I think really open up like a lot of exciting new features and kinds of things that people can build. I'm obviously extremely excited about Mesh, and we're really just leading the first version of Mesh, but there's going to be a whole suite of Mesh protocols that come out. And I think that in the Juno community, we have a lot of devs that have already built like probably more IBC protocols than like most other chains, like, you know, Polytone as an example. And so I think I'd like to see us like keep pushing the boundaries there. And we've also been early adopters of like IBC features as well, which is, I think, crucial. This is like a key focus for Juno, is just being like the earliest kind of adopter of like the latest and greatest technology. So like being able to like open up that WASM client to Polkadot, there's going to be a lot more opportunities like that in the coming years, right? And I hope that we just continue to be that sort of like cutting edge community.
Yeah, I think, you know, on that WASM client to Polkadot note, like this will be the first deployment of a non-Cosmos SDK client on a Cosmos chain that's not on a public Cosmos chain. You know, there's some folks who have been involved in Juno dev who have gone off and deployed that on a proof of authority validator set, and they're using that, their expertise that they built here at Juno to go do that. But I think, you know, the public chain is where the real excitement is, and like we're going to see more and more of them.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
So yeah, cutting edge tech, but I think really also cutting edge culture. And, you know, I think that's where like the working group comes in, and the fact that we're going to be really serious about reforms. Like now is the time to like restructure. Like let's dissolve Core One. Let's experiment with some new ideas in governance. This is why I'm really excited to like, you know, increasingly be leveraging DAODAO for more and more of Juno governance, because it will really open up a bunch of exciting possibilities and really get back to our values, right? I think we've been, you know, a lot of times I think we were trying our best, but like mistakes have been made in the past, and we should just acknowledge that and like move forward. But let's get serious about like, you know, the governance reforms. I think the working group, the constitution, leveraging DAODAO for more things, like embracing fundamental reform to like earn trust back from the community. Like, let's live up to our values of being this community run and community owned chain. If we do that, like Juno is going to be a very exciting place.
Yeah. I was just going to quickly, sorry, I get sidetracked there with a little man still up here watching films. I do apologize. How does Juno plan to differentiate itself in the increasingly sort of crowded Cosmos space? You know, we're going to get a lot of smart contract chains here on Cosmos. How is Juno aiming to be something different? And also, just piggyback off of that question, and I don't mean just Cosmos, we're now getting roll-ups on Ethereum and stuff. You know, what's Juno going to do? It's different.
Yeah, stand out? I mean, you know, Jake will probably say the exact same thing I'm about to say, which is community. Juno is a unique set of people who came into this ecosystem at a time when it was raw and new, and nothing can change the stuff that we've gone through as a community. And I think that these old communities that stay together and continue to find new reasons and things to drive them forward, that's way more exciting than some soulless new chain that just has the same forks of Rye and you know, whatever random Uniswap clone is on there. You know, people don't want to play the same stupid games. They want to do new things. And I think Juno as a community,
yeah, they
want to
play Minecraft. They want to play Minecraft, you know? Yeah, I think it's community and culture is a key differentiator, you know, being this, like, let's live up to our values of being this non-VC community owned, like DAOist game. And let's embrace the experimentation again and being this cutting edge chain. Like, you know, I think a lot of people are like Juno versus Neutron. And I think Neutron's a fine chain. They're going to take a little bit more of a conservative stance, right? And they have a close relationship with the hub, right? They're doing replicated security. We're doing mesh security.
Juno Neutron.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of this is less zero sum than people might realize at first glance. Like, someone used the analogy the other day of like, let's say you have an antiques store, you're selling antiques, and then across the street another antique store opens up, and then across the street from that another one opens up. Is this a good thing or bad thing for the original antique store? Arguably it's actually a good thing, because now that road is a destination, it's a whole scene, and it's about selling the scene kind of lifts all boats, right? And so it's not quite as like a zero sum mentality as people might realize. And then as far as like the rollups on Ethereum goes, like, fuck it. Let's roll up state on Ethereum. Let's go. I want a deeper connection. Like, let's push forward these things as a community. And by being like, you know, on the cutting edge,
of experimentation and building a culture around that. I think we can make it another, like, just an exciting place to be and develop.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that we still have developers, even though we've had like nothing but like downward price pressure this whole fucking time. Amazing.
I mean, the ETH L2 thing, like, they've discovered the Cosmos thesis from 2017, and they're like in the middle of making a bunch of mistakes we as a community already made. We're years ahead of them. We're more nimble. We have a lot less like technical debt and, you know, research debt than Ethereum has. Like, they've spent a lot of years building very complex systems with increasing levels of complexity, whereas we've spent a lot of years trying to make this app chain experience as easy as possible for developers. I think that they've made a big splash with some predictable things like the Coinbase chain launching, but despite what the narrative says right now, Cosmos is in an incredibly strong position to compete there. And I think that the next year will show that vividly.
Amazing. Thank you for that. Just another final one from me to ask. Given our experience with this bear market, what strategies does Juno plan to implement to sail through smoothly through other potential bear markets going ahead? Open to anyone.
Yeah, I think... I think we've learned the lesson about treasury diversification. I think that going forward, when things do pick up again, we should think long and hard about diversifying community funds to like save up for the next inevitable bear market. That's one aspect. But I also do think, you know, this is something I saw in like my own time in the Ethereum ecosystem, is that when a community goes through a full cycle, they see the best of times and they see the worst of times, that inevitably means like a much stronger and more robust community. And so I think the next bear market will be different because people will remember a time that was like even worse. Just like, you know, there's been bear markets since like 2018 and 2019 in Ethereum. But like that whole culture has been like, they've developed the culture inside themselves to like internal like knowledge and wisdom and just like live through it. And so that's an important thing to like develop in a community, is just like, yeah. So I think treasury diversification is one obvious thing, but then just merely surviving this one and then thriving again is like, that's really what it takes to make a long lasting and like community. It's really easy to have a community in the best of times, but if the community can survive and it can reform and evolve, that means like it's just going to keep getting stronger. So,
brilliant. Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you, guys. Okay, I'm just going to nip on to the next agenda here. So, governance recap, there ain't much on there. We had obviously 3.11 Juno upgrade was passed and implemented, which Reese went over a minute ago. Commonwealth, there's nothing on there recently I've not noticed. So if I see Ray Signal in the house, if they want to just update anything from the Juno working group, I was in a call with them today and I must say I'm very excited to see the progress these guys are making. Welcome to the call. Feel free to share anything you'd like to share.
Hey, thanks, Highlander. I'll go first, and then I think Ray can jump in when he's finished up with whatever he's doing. Just a couple things. First off, we have a survey that we put out. I've pinned it in the nest of this, this space. Very, very simple survey. Just about a couple of the things, couple key challenges, strengths on Juno and things like that. We've done a lot of community consultation already. We've done interviews with Core One directly. We're all kind of drawn from the community ourselves. So these are topics that we have opinions on, but we'd love to hear from other people. So if anyone has time to fill out that survey, it'd be really helpful for us. It's just pinned right there. It should just take a few minutes, hopefully, but as much time as you have is always appreciated. I'm starting with that because, you know, surveys are usually the least interesting thing. Other than that, we've been working hard on the Constitution. Those calls happen every Sunday at I believe 6 p.m. UTC in the Juno Discord. Those are open general calls that anybody can join into if they want to either just listen in or if you want to have some input. So progress is moving on that front. And most recently, we've been working on a structure, basically to a set of reforms to supersede Core 1 and take some of the sub-DAOs that already exist, some that are defunct, and restructure them in a way that we believe will serve Juno well, that will improve transparency, allow it to operate in a nimble fashion over the next couple, next year or so, in addition to kind of better representing stakeholders from across the community and also working to serve those who have been in, you know, positions like those on Core 1, enabling them to work on areas that they're really passionate about. So we're quite excited for that proposal. An early draft of it will be put out on Commonwealth in the next few days. In the coming days, I'm not sure if it's within this week or so. And when that goes out, that's not what we're proposing, but we're very interested in showing an early draft of the structure to get community feedback, to see what people think about it, just to see if there's any gaps that we've missed out on, other priority areas and so on. So that's kind of the main update right now. I'm not sure, Ray, if you wanted to expand on some of the things I've said or if I've missed anything.
No, I think you've covered most of it. If anybody has any questions, or we can get into.
Yeah, Ray, I still need to chat with you about this. I'm excited to hear this. I love this direction.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think we have we've been working really hard to find something that levels the playing field for all of the parties and interests that are involved in Juno and that have an interest in Juno's governance, to try to give everybody some equal footing in being able to collaborate and build a community first chain that's more decentralized and has some representation both in the blockchain world and also in the material world, so that Juno has a more sustaining footprint for longer relationships inside and outside of the blockchain. Is that a vague enough way to talk about what we're doing, Signal?
That's perfect. And I also want to say, like, Jake as well, appreciate Jake has shared his thoughts on the structure as well and contributed to the constitution. So that's been really helpful. I think over the course of the last couple of months since we started the working group, we've had several different documents float around with different potential structures. And now we're kind of really, they're all kind of coming together and we're kind of just ironing out, you know, the finer points from our perspective. And so very confident that soon we can share the conclusions we've come to with a wider audience to have them criticized, interrogated, and validated.
I'm excited for the sub-DAO restructure. What you were talking about today seems to be like, you know, we've had a good run at Juno Communications is a sub-DAO. It's done pretty well. The other ones have, like, you know, they kick-started, but obviously the downward pressure of selling and stuff wasn't really good for them, I think, personally. But what you're describing today seems to be a bit more suited sub-DAOs for Juno, but more like sub-DAOs that will be around forever, which is really refreshing to see. I think if we get that organized and planned, then you can get people really contributing and sort of, like I keep saying it, singing off the same hymn sheet, then, you know, we all know what we're doing. Excuse me.
Yeah, and I think another thing that we've taken a lot of consideration, and I think I can say this because I believe we've essentially reached consensus on it, is that we'll be presenting the path forward for Juno at this point as a charter that defines a lot of the different scope of what Juno is and what Juno isn't and what governance is responsible for. And it also looks to leverage the experience of the Core One team. You know, it isn't burning down the house in the sense of throwing out the baby with the bathwater, but looking to, you know, understand that a lot of Core One has moved on to other things that interest them, as well as working on Juno. And this will allow Juno governance to scale beyond the existing structure of Core One and grow into an autonomous, decentralized group of sub-devs.
Could you maybe touch on it for a wee minute or two of like what your idea is about the charter for anyone who doesn't really know? Is it sort of part of the constitution? You know, what is the vision for it?
Yeah, and Signal, cut me off if I'm out of scope here. I just want to give a little bit of meat to things. It's essentially a way, like what we see a lot of chains doing is, or what I see a lot of chains doing, and speak from my own perspective. What a lot of chains do is they argue every single proposal like it's life and death because they have no vision and they have no purpose and no principles to the chain. So everything becomes some sentiment and everything has to get dissected down to the last minute detail. But if you actually had principles and values and rules, like we believe X, Y, and Z, and this is how this is structured, and these are the parameters on which we operate as a chain, then we don't have to go into these like nitpicking fights for every single proposal. We can look at these things and say, do they align with the charter? Do they align with the constitution? Do they align with the values of Juno and the community? And if they do, then we can debate the intricacies of that and what is the best and most efficient way to implement it. But we don't have to sit and figure out on every single proposal, is this something we want or is this something we don't want? And so the purpose of what we're looking to do because of the time it takes to develop a fully formed constitution is we're looking to present a charter, which we can have up and running quickly to give us a framework and an infrastructure in an interim cycle to work from and then build the constitution in its finality based on what we learn from using this decentralized governance developed for this charter. So does that help answer your question?
Yeah. I mean, thank you for that.
You know, I think that like this is how we defend against people looking to come in and use the community for their own agendas and their own things that they want to do. You know, that has been a persistent problem in Cosmos governance. And I think that dynamic that Ray talked about with you know, every proposal is life and death, that's driven by interest group style politics. And the way to combat that is with shared values and, you know, shared ideas of what we're doing here. And I think you can look around Cosmos and see the people who prey on this division that is created by the structure we have and use it to their own gain. And pushing forward a document that explicitly states shared values allows the community to point to that and is kind of like a defense against demagogues in a way. And I think, you know, we've all seen this over the last few years.
I think it'll be more than a document too. I mean, there's going to be smart contracts that go along with this new structure that like just impose the rules. I know people have been upset about things that Core One have passed in the past. And you know, one of the things that like we're definitely like exploring, I think we probably have like pretty good consensus around is like sort of like a veto and having a smart contract enforced veto from the community. Simple mechanisms like this, vesting contracts for budgets and stuff, like we can use, you know, the tools of the blockchain. It's important to have like the words, right? The values, all those things that we can kind of like define ourselves from the community, but it's even better to couple those with like actually like on-chain enforceable mechanisms that, you know, will mean that we're serious, you know?
And also with the organizational structure reform that we're proposing for Core One is moving more towards something where Core One is a council elected by a set of constituent sub-DAOs that represent community stakeholder interests a little bit more clearly and are also set up to act in specific areas that Juno needs them to act in, you know, whether it's operations, developer operations, developer relations, whatever, this kind of thing. And so, you know, through that and having personnel in the right place and having greater clarity on what the institution is and what it's meant to do will also be very beneficial, in my opinion. I think traditionally, if you look at something like Core One, if you ask five people what it is or what it does, you'll get 10 different answers, right? It's something that was not necessarily clearly defined, or people can, and when things aren't clearly defined, they can be used for all kinds of, you know, whatever narrative you see fit, right? So it's about lending some clarity to the institution at the same time that you're bringing in this value-based charter and like Jake was saying, smart contracts, things like that, the actual tools to implement.
This is brilliant stuff.
Yeah, if I can add to that too, do you mind?
Go for it. Yep, sure. I'm just seeing.
Yeah, I wanted to say, you know, we've been working, one of the things that's been very important to us and why this survey that we're putting out is really, really important is because this is defining the principles and values of Juno. And what we're asking the community to do is to define what they find valuable and what they you know, think is important for Juno. So this is going to help influence and drive kind of the crafting of the draft of the Constitution. Obviously, everything's going to go back to the Charter and the Constitution, but everything's going to go back to the community and through Commonwealth. So everything's going to get looked at again. But please don't, you know, make us do twice the work. If you can fill out the survey now, we can write it once instead of submitting it and then having people give us feedback and then changing it again. So I just want to iterate that, you know, this has taken a long time to get to because a lot of people come in to a place where there's problems and say, I know how to fix it. Let me do this. Let me do that. And what we've really sat down and said is, look, what do people care about? There's no right or wrong way to do this. These are values and principles. Everybody has different values and principles. So what's more important is understanding what people actually have, you know, value to and assign value to and what they'll support and build a community around rather than jump between technical solutions and trying to put out fires. So we're really looking with this to help solidify Juno going forward so that we can look at proposals in governance and have a more comfortable stance in saying we know what we want and we know what we don't want.
I love it. I can't stress enough, yeah, Juno community, we will be sharing this document around again. But yeah, please fill out the Juno priority survey. It's really important. There's been a lot of great work put in, like I'll just echo what's been said from Ray and Signal there. Really amazing stuff, guys. Really appreciate it as well. You know, it's all voluntary as well, isn't it, at the moment? So, you know, it's hats off to you, man, seriously. I'm going to throw this one here. Right? There's a wee comment down here, and let me just quote Mayor Ed Dantes shared that Ryan Sean Adams tweeted 8 hours ago, all Ethereum competitors want to become an L2 now. Ethereum won the thumb war. Any news Core One members want to reply to that?
I love listening to ETH people shill their bags. They are the most obnoxious. Even worse than Bitcoin. Well, I don't know. They're getting up there with Bitcoin maxis these days.
Yeah, I think that, you know, not surprised, like, given who it's coming from, but the reality is that we're moving towards the interchain is the new paradigm. Even a lot of ETH people are starting to really understand this. And the what is an L2 versus what is an L1 is going to get increasingly blended. It's almost like all these things are going to be meshed together. So I think even in the, maybe this hasn't made its way to the Bankless podcast yet, but there's some new narratives that are brewing. And then even in terms of like the L2 stacks, you know, like is something that consumes like, you know, eigenlayer security. Is that an L2, even if it's not a state rollup or traditional rollup on Ethereum. Like, I think what people are going to increasingly find is that this, like, this language of L1/L2 is not incredibly helpful, and that when Ethereum joins the interchain, it won't really matter as much.
Yeah, like, what is an L2? It's a blockchain with Ethereum alignment. And what is Ethereum alignment? It's like percentage of people on your cap table who were working on Ethereum back in 2015, 2016. And like, I mean, that's the reality of the situation. And you can even see in comparing Optimism to Arbitrum to Polygon, Optimism has the most early ETH people, Arbitrum the second most, and Polygon the third most. They're fundamentally building all the same thing, but the level of support from the core Ethereum community varies based on how much the cap tables reflect that. And this is what happens in bear markets. The people who had the chain that was the most dominant in the last one have the most money left over at the worst part of the bear market, and they're able to start driving the narrative. But as new users come in, as this market cycle changes, they're going to see that the Ethereum people have no clothes on. Their chosen solution, Optimism, hasn't shipped fraud proofs, hasn't shipped a lot of the basic cryptography, and is pretty much a server running on AWS that they've spent hundreds of millions of dollars on. And like, they're going to go look over at the Cosmos ecosystem, and they're going to see that we actually have security processes. We have all of that real decentralization that people want out of blockchain, and it works just as good, if not way better, than what exists over on Ethereum. And this is how we win. And I know that this is hard to swallow in a deep bear market when the narrative is so hard against us, but this is the reality of the situation. And this is what people are going to see when they look critically at this space. And as this market turns, the users will come back and people will come back. And like, we just have to keep building for that.
And we're going to get new people. Like, I'm really excited for MetaMask finally coming to Cosmos. I mean, what's the difference between Polygon Matic sidechain, which is like an L2 in many people's minds, and like a Cosmos chain? There's not much. I mean, Matic uses Tendermint and like an early version of the Cosmos SDK. But it's got MetaMask, right? And so, you know, if a Matic sidechain can be an L2, then I don't know what the word L2 means, but, you know, we're about to have a bunch more, like, you know, I think for a lot of people, MetaMask is the Ethereum ecosystem. And so that's going to open up like a whole bunch of new users. I think to kind of just like solidify one of Jack's point is like, IBC is going to be the thing. Like, the interchain will connect all, and that will include Ethereum and its L2s. And that's how we win. We're just absorbing them. Like, and I think that's also great because that means like the liquidity can flow freely in a true internet of blockchains. In that kind of environment though, like, people are going to like think and ask hard questions. Like, do they really want to use a centralized sequencer? Like, or do they want something that's more decentralized? And if there's, you know, if you can still have tools for like ETH alignment, you know, what is an L2? I think that increasingly, and I think this has already been the case, like Ethereum is just like absorbing like the Cosmos narratives that we're pioneering. And as we go into the next cycle, I think that's just going to happen more and more. And when Ethereum joins the interchain, we've won. And I think we are on the path to winning.
That's brilliant, guys. If there's any questions from the community, which I don't think there is, but man, you guys have covered quite a lot tonight, and I really appreciate it. This call's been amazing. Big shout out to Jack for taking the time coming on. Yourself, Jake.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess like the one thing that I would just say at the end of this, we've got 78 people. This is kind of the max of the call. I've watched it the whole time. During the worst part of a bear market, talking about a chain that a lot of people have written off. That's not a chain that people should write off. That's a deep community that people care about. And like, there's still people here. A. B. The other thing that I want to call out is there's a lot of negativity right now. The communities, the people, and the chains that stick around and profit from this industry are going to be the ones that ignore the talking heads saying that everything is awful and we're all going to die, and to go out there and build and to put the blinders on, to do the hard thing and to keep pushing. And what I would ask everyone on this call to do is whenever you see negativity out there, just ignore it. Like, you know that. That's the voice in the back of all of our heads saying, where are the users? Where's the liquidity? Where's the money? How are we going to get the devs? And like, you know, I wake up in the middle of the night thinking about that shit. But I'll tell you what I don't wake up in the night thinking about is what people are saying about me online and what, like, what the latest Twitter drama is. That is the most negative sum, boring part of this ecosystem. And the more that we as a collective group can minimize and ignore that and boost the signal of the positive folks, the better. And I just want to call on everyone here to ignore the dramas, keep pushing, and focus on the future here. And that's how we win.
Beautiful, mate. Thank you very much. Big shout out again to Jack, Jake, Reese, Signal, Ray, all the community here tuned in, listening, as always, every week, putting up with my bland Scottish accent, but I really do appreciate it, guys. We will be shipping this to Spotify in the next day, and expect some cool snippets coming out for this call. Really appreciate it, chaps. Love every single one of yous, and I will catch yous next time. Goodbye, everybody. Take care.
Thank you.
IBC gang, let's go.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the maximum amount of payments, red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics, they probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters, and then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known a politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality. The teeth stuck in the furs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lace, stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place, smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines, they call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community, all these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege, commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse, misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.